Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I am Julia Cannon, and today is August the 11th. That's when the show will be airing. Now, today that we're officially doing this is not that day. We're pre-recording again. Hey, that's how we do it, and we're going to get you all mixed up. But we are here, and you are there, and when you see this, it'll all work. Oh, this has something to do with, I love how this always happens. This will have something to do with our guest and our topics tonight. So how it's all at the one and it's all together. And it just, you know, you're here because you're listening and you will be, it doesn't even matter. That's what it's all about. So, we'll see. First of all, I want to make a few announcements before I bring our guest on. Although you can see him and we are doing video now. So excited about that. Yes. I just wanted to announce our QHHT classes that are coming up. September, we're going to be in Canada and in Vancouver, Canada. In October, I'll be in Australia. And then November, I'll be in China and Taiwan. So if you're interested in classes in any of those areas, please look on the websites, DoloresCannon.com or QHHTOfficial.com. To see the schedule for the classes. And if you're looking into that and want to be a practitioner, just come on, welcome aboard. That'll be our classes for the rest of this year. And then we'll be getting the schedule up for next year. I realize all those are out of the country. That's just finishing out the year. We do have a lot of plans for a lot of classes next year and some new formats. So I will be announcing those later and to make it more available to everyone. Okay, so very excited to bring on our guest tonight. He's one of our newest authors, and his book actually just got here. I mean, it's hot off the press. It came into our warehouse Friday. So it's available now. We're so excited about that. I'm always excited to bring our new authors, our authors, period. But I love to bring our new authors on. And this gentleman is so, I mean, his book is just so fun. That's what's so good about it. Anyway, our guest tonight is Andy Myers, and he wrote the book, Not Your Average Angel Book. And if you haven't seen it yet, Andy, here it is.
I haven't seen it in the flesh. I've only seen digital images of it, so I'm jealous that you have hands there.
Yeah, it moves. Yeah, your copies are probably on the way to you.
So. Yeah, it's supposed to arrive early next week, actually. So, hey, it's good to see it, and thanks for having me on, Julia. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, thanks for being here. Always excited and an honor. So, and I feel like I know you from reading your book. You know, because I was in the part of the editing. The pre-selection process and everything, and I just love your personality. I love how you convey everything, and I love how you portray your subject matter. But we'll get into that in a little bit, okay? What I love to do is I always want to hear how you got here. I want to hear your story, because I bet you weren't always talking to angels and seeing angels, were you? Or, I mean, no. Did you have a normal life at one time?
I still have a normal life, you know.
There we go.
After a day of writing and meeting with clients, I go home and scrub the toilets. So
there you go.
Yeah, so nothing more than that to keep you grounded, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I guess the cool thing is, I think everybody has what they refer to in superhero movies as the origin story, you know, how it all began, if you will.
Right, and, right.
Simply put, you know, from a young age, I didn't set out to be a professional psychic medium or speaker or author. I knew I wanted to help people. And, you know, so I liked working with people and helping people and helping them troubleshoot their problems. And I guess in hindsight, throughout my youth, I actually was having quite a bit of what you might call paranormal or spiritual experiences, and a lot of cases of having dreams at night that would later come true in real life, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of kind of premonitions of, you know, knowing things about people, but wasn't exactly sure how or why, you know, the information was popping into my head. And so my desire to help people led me to get a degree in social work. So in 2005, I graduated from the University of Nebraska at Omaha with a degree in social work. And, you know, I worked at after school programs and youth facilities and drug rehab centers and the like. And the game changing moment for me was in 2006. In the fall of that year, I had what I can only compare to a near-death experience, and it was profoundly positive and peaceful and wonderful in every way. And when I came to from that, I just noticed that my intuition was elevated. And so at that point in time, I really started to sense and feel and see things, you know, a little bit, a few layers deeper, if you will. And when I worked up the confidence to talk with some of these strangers to see if what I was sensing about them was accurate, I was relieved to know that it was, because I thought I was starting to lose my marbles, if you will.
And, I think that's a normal step in everybody's evolution in this process. They go through that part of, I think I'm losing it.
I think you're right. I've talked to a lot of people who found that to be the case. And, you know, with my background in mental health, I knew too much about what could be wrong with me. So at any rate, I started to give, you know, I guess what you would call psychic readings, not really knowing what I was doing at first. And one thing led to another, and I started to give psychic readings live on the radio, and that led to several radio appearances around the country, and kind of it just turned into my full-time job somehow. And you know, over the years, and the coolest part was in talking with so many people and coming in contact with so many wonderful people. I, you know, some people collect rocks and some people collect, you know, stamps. I collect stories. And so I had heard enough angel stories and ghost stories and mm-hmm. stories of miracles and divine intervention. Book, not your average angel book. It was just kind of a byproduct of the content that I had. So that's kind of how that book developed. It had a lot of ammo to use, if you will. So
yeah. Well, yeah, because you did so many readings and everything. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, I stay pretty busy, but I always say I'd rather be too busy than not busy enough. So.
Yes. Okay, so that got you to where you're doing this on a regular basis then. So are you still a social worker, or did you quit doing that? I mean, you're kind of doing social work on a different level.
on a different level, you know, my life had become more of a, you know, I guess spiritually focused. So mm-hmm. the first day of 2010, I actually made the switch, and I went full time as a psychic and speaker and author. And so, no, I haven't been practicing social work for many years, but, you know, everything related to health and human services is still near and dear to my heart.
Well, you know, and this is something I tell people, I'm going off just a little bit, but that's a good point to bring up, is that when people take our QHHT classes, and they'll come from all these varied backgrounds, and sometimes they're very professional backgrounds where they went to a lot of schooling and paid a lot of money and everything, but then the universe is directing them away from that and saying, no, you need to be over here now. I had a similar thing, you know, and it's like, you're going, but it doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm this, and it's like, no, you need to be here. And one of the things I realized after many, many years was all of the skills I had from those other things I did, the other professions and everything, they all led, and they're all, you know, to where I am now. It's like they are all contributing. So nothing is ever wasted that you did back there. It's right. Like just because your life takes a 180 degree turn doesn't mean that you wasted your time on all this other stuff. So.
Correct. Yeah. And Julia, I mean, you yourself probably, you know, have felt that you're, you know, somewhat intuitive, you know, and so I'm sure you've gotten really good at noticing the signs and the messages and the little, you know, when spirit whispers to you, if you will. But no,
getting better. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, we all are. But no, I just last week I was having a chat with my mom, and I said, not for one second do I regret, you know, following through and getting my social work degree. Even though I'm not actively using it right now, it laid the groundwork. And, You know, one of my last social work jobs that I had before doing this full time involved teaching classes and giving a lot of lectures to people on mental illness. And at the time, I was petrified of public speaking. So had it not been for that job of getting more comfortable with that, I couldn't be, you know, here today, you know, doing as many lectures as I do. So it certainly helped. It's kind of funny, and life makes a lot of sense in hindsight. You know, 5 years down the road, you can understand why that happened and this happened, and it led you to where you are. So yeah, it all fits together.
Another thing I think, this is just what I'm picking up, another thing I sense is because you probably worked with a large cross-section of people when you were doing the social work. So it exposed you to all kinds of people. Well, that was developing people skills. That was introducing you to, you know, it's like, okay, because that something similar happened to me where all of a sudden I wasn't in a niche. I was in something where I was exposed to so many cross-sections. And I was like, well, why is this happening? And what I felt was like, you need to know how to be able to talk to anybody, you know, no matter where they are in life and what's going on. And so,
Bingo. Hey, I couldn't agree more. I think that the best people persons I've ever met, they do have that variety to pull on, you know, having talked with people of every background, every walk of life, every faith. And it just kind of, I don't know, with all these experiences, they end up being like tools in your tool belt. You know what I mean? So
absolutely. Yes. And that's what I meant. That's a huge point. And that's a huge thing to remember, because you're not leaving anything behind. You're not letting it go. Really. It's a tool. So because that will really help a lot of people, because that's part of a resistance. That was part of my resistance whenever I was being told to move and shift and everything, was like, but this is what I am. This is who I am. And it's like, get over here.
And speaking of change and transition, I think it's something that's scary for all of us. I was certainly nervous when I made the plunge to full-time psychic, but I think, you know, the anxiety comes from fear of the unknown, you know, that we're never guaranteed anything. We're never promised anything. And, you know, kind of the way that I look at it when we were talking about life changes, I think of life as kind of like a hike in the woods. And sometimes you can't pick up a new useful tool that you find along the way unless you set down one of your old tools, you know, because there's only so much you can carry. Right. So, you know, you have to be willing to evolve and transition and kind of let go of old things to make way for newer, more useful items.
Wonderful analogy.
Yeah.
Well, and I like the on a hike too, so you're on your journey. The journey of life.
It totally is. Life is the biggest trip. It's
competitive. Okay, so let's get to your, if we can talk a little bit about your book. I mean, and you broke it down. You have it in two sections, and one part's about your guides, your spirit guides and guardian angels, and then the other part is just angels. So there's a differentiation. And so if you want, can you talk about that a little bit, about the differentiation of the two?
Yeah. Well, I even like the design of the front cover, which I can't take credit for. Ozark Mountain, they have their own specialist that do those things. But the cover at the top that said, you know, what's the difference between an angel and a guardian angel? You know, this book is the topic from two different perspectives. And that's the distinction that I make right from the get-go in chapter one, is that, you know, guardian angels, also known as spirit guides, they are our personalized assistants that help us and guide us and mentor us through life and try to keep us on track. They know us better than we know ourselves. And I believe anyway that oftentimes our guardian angels are, you know, past life buddies or a relative who's passed on, or, you know, they're just spiritual beings that have our best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then category, you have angels. And when I talk about angels, I always have wings to indicate angels actually have wings. And in many cases, they're seen as having halos as well. And angels, I think, conduct freelance work, if you will. They come and go as needed, wherever they're needed most. And oftentimes, angels, messengers of God, they're the ones that are responsible of a lot of the miracle stories you hear, you know, of the kid being saved from the burning building, and then the hero disappears before he can be interviewed. You know, those kind of things I think are often attributed to angels. And wings and halos aside, I do believe that angels can also take forms as well, the form of a human being if we find that less imposing. And I've also found that angels have very small egos, so they're not really so much concerned about being interviewed by the evening news. Oftentimes they'll vanish into thin air before they can pinpoint who they were. So yeah, right. It's two different it's apples and oranges. It's completely different subjects, but they are intertwined. So I figured this book was a two for one special.
Absolutely. And you go into quite a bit of detail about, like, we'll start with the guardian angels. Well, you go into detail about both of them, but you really do the guides and the guardian angels. Both terms are talking about the same group, correct? Spirit guides and guardian angels.
Guides and guardian angels are one and the same. I always kind of like to think of them as Coke or Pepsi, you know, same thing, different label, I guess. A lot of people ask, you know, what are some, you know, main questions that people ask you about guardian angels? And, you know, a lot of people want to know, do they ever quit on us? do they ever give up? And I always say, despite, you know, the poor choices that us humans are prone to making, guardian angel will never give up on you. They never quit. They never put in 2 weeks' notice. They never go on strike. They never form a union. They are.
They're probably shaking their heads a lot, but
sometimes I think they, kind of smack themselves on the head when we're doing things that are not ideal for circumstances. But they never give up on us. And the other thing that I'll say, we all have guardian angels. As a matter of fact, from what I've seen to be true intuitively through the years, I've never met a person who has less than two guardian angels. I think even the people in the world who seemingly have very simple lives, they're still complex enough to require at least two guardian angels. As far as a cap or a maximum, I don't know if there is one necessarily. I have to these angels. There wasn't a limit.
So let's say you said the minimum is what seems to be is two. What do you see as their roles? I mean, do they have different roles when there's two in a person's life? I mean, those two, I know when there's more, they'd all have probably different things, but let's say, because that sounds like that would be like your basic.
I'm kind of frozen on video and audio. Hopefully.
Yeah, you did too. We might have to. Is that any better now, or is that better?
You're kind of cutting in and out. Can you maybe try repeating the question?
Okay, I was saying where you were saying on what you've seen as the minimum. Yeah. From your what you've found so far is that everyone has at least two guardian angels or spirit guides. Do they tend to have like specific roles in a person's life? Because that sounds like that would be the basic minimum, you know. So it's like, okay, do they have roles that they play those?
Okay. Yeah, what I found to be true, and you know, granted, I'm basing this information off of my personal experiences of giving psychic readings, and I'm able to hear and see and sense and communicate with these guardian angels. So based off of what I've learned, and I have learned a lot from them over the years, they have a specialty. Each guardian angel is as unique as we are. You know, they have their own personality. They have their own quirks and nuances and likes and dislikes. And you know, some are really funny and charismatic. Others are more businesslike and serious. Mm-hmm. But I do find that each one of them has a specialty, maybe two specialties. You know, and whether it be helping us with creativity, or, you know, perhaps you're a CEO of a company and one of your guardian angels helps you with leadership abilities, Or perhaps you work at the DMV and you have a guardian angel that helps with patients. They do each have a specialty. And the really thing about it is they're qualified for the job. I believe guardian angels are just regular people, regular humans like you and I, who once upon a time were living life just like we are. And now that they're in spirit form in the afterlife, it's just a part-time job for them to help us and guide us. And the cool thing is they're very much qualified for their jobs. So for example, a guardian angel who helps with creativity may have been a painter or an artist in their past lifetime. Okay. You know, and maybe the guardian angel that helps you with patience was formerly a kindergartner teacher in her life. And so she's fully mastered what it means to be patient. And therefore, they use that specialty to, help us learn the lessons that we want to learn in that category as well.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so in a way, they're just kind of like teachers. They coach and give us hints, and they teach us, and essentially just help us to have the experiences that we're looking to have here on Earth.
What I was going to say was, so since they've had lives and they've been here, do you think they also have the, do they sense frustration? Like I was saying earlier, it's like they're probably up there shaking their heads. And, do you think they get frustrated? Have you found that?
I don't know if frustrated is the right word. They certainly never get upset or angry with us. Perhaps frustrated just in the fact that, they want us to get the most out of our life. So, like with my daughter right now, she's 3, and we're kind of we're still working on the potty training, and we're like 75% there. But, mm-hmm. she still has an accident every now and again, and sometimes I get frustrated. Not that I'm mad mm-hmm. at her. I just really want her to get it. I want her to be in, out of diapers. And so on a similar mm-hmm. scaled up way, you could say our guardian angels get frustrated with us, but it's coming out of a place of love. They just want us to master mm-hmm. our lessons and to evolve into the best version of ourselves, and they're patient. So, as long as it takes us to get there, they'll be by our sides.
That's probably the number one requirement. Okay. Yeah. if you put in for guardian angel school, or you put in for to be one, they're like, okay, well, that's, you got to master this first.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a commitment. I don't think it's something that they sign up for, without giving much thought. It's like having a child. It's a big responsibility, and it's not one that you can quit halfway through. So, but thankfully.
Yeah. Because they stay the whole life. Right?
You got to stay the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's great. And so I think that's what's great about them. They are personalized, unique, individualized, and so they cater to what we need. And now on the flip side, you have the angels, angels mm-hmm. with wings and halos. And I don't think what I got. I do not believe that angels have ever lived a lifetime here on Earth, and they've never been in the human condition. So think of them as a totally different species, a more evolved beings. And so they're not so much concerned with our day-to-day affairs and coaching us and helping us. Angels are more there for damage control. In other words, to prevent us from experiencing things that are not part of our destiny. So if you were to leave the office at the end of the day and there was any chance of you getting into a car accident that mm-hmm. you were not meant to be in, an angel with wings would be permitted to intervene to cause something to happen to keep you safe. Because you have to think, life is just one big pinball machine of cause and effect. So mm-hmm. if one person, were to be in a serious car accident, not only would it derail their destiny, it would derail kind of a spiral cause and effect reaction there. So angels are more for damage control. Guardian angels are more for helping us on a day-to-day basis.
So you're kind of saying, okay, the angels, well, I guess they all are, they're fully aware of the blueprint or whatever it was, the design or the, what do you call the life plan that you had set in place when you came in. So they're all aware of that, and they're all aware of what is supposed to happen and what is destined to happen. And then what's not. And so, like you're saying, they can see the whole picture. So
they do. They see the whole picture. I sometimes, which isn't fair, because I think, you know, us humans, we often feel like a mice in a mouse in a maze, and you know, mm-hmm. we can't find the keys and we're lost. And
yeah,
you know, that's why our guardian angels don't panic, because similarly, you know, if we were looking at a mouse in a maze that couldn't find the cheese, we wouldn't get overly upset. You know, we'd kind of shrug our shoulders and say, oh, isn't that cute? Well, yeah. He'll find the cheese eventually. He just needs to go left and right again. And I think that's how our guardian angels look at us. They know that we'll figure it out. We just need time. And we can't often see the finish line because we're too close to our own situation.
Yeah, those. I use that example in a class that I teach, the maze example, how we're right here and all we see are the walls and we're bumping into them all. And a lot of times we'll just feel so defeated. We just stop and everything. But yeah, it's the guides, it's the higher self, it's all these things up there. They can see the whole thing. And they're just like, they're trying to guide us. They're trying to help, hey, just go this way.
Exactly.
That's where the messages come in and stuff. If we'll listen.
A lot of us take the scenic route to get to where we're going.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Let's see here. You were talking about one of the interesting things, a day in the life of a guardian angel.
Yeah.
What's that like?
That's kind of how the book starts out, the introduction, mm-hmm. if you will. I just created it's the only part of my book that's fictional, by the way.
Okay.
Everything is completely true stories. But the first part of the book is a fictional story that I created to illustrate what it would be like to be a guardian angel, how they interact with us, what they do and what they don't do for us in our day-to-day lives, with the challenges and the hurdles that we run into. And so, yeah, it depicts a fictional guardian angel named Cliff, who's in charge of looking after his person. And it really is interesting to think of that, you know, whether your car breaks down, or whether you're late to work, or, you know, whether you're having a wonderful night at home with your spouse, or if there's trouble in your although they don't open boundaries, they're never really too far away. And so that mm-hmm. first part of my book just kind of helps the reader to ease into it and to realize how personal, you know, guardian angels really are. And that's a point that I wanted to illustrate, because, you know, many of us have been led to believe that guardian angels, it's just a cutesy subject, you know, oh, guardian angels, they're in the same category as imaginary friends. You know, they're things that we tell ourselves so that we feel more secure. And what I want the readers to know is that guardian angels are real. They're very real. They're as real as you and I. And so in that aspect, you know, because they're there and yet we can't see them in the flesh, I sometimes like to think of guardian angels as like gravity. You know, gravity exists all around us. It's just invisible. And you can't see gravity itself. You can just see the effect that it has on our physical reality. You know, if you drop your pen, if you knock your pen off your desk, it's going to fall apart. That's gravity in motion. So similarly, our guardian angels, they're often doing things in our life in very tangible ways. We just can't see them.
Something just came to me a while ago. You made a comment. I don't remember what it was, but it led to this thought here. As far as like what they do, are there things that they cannot do? They are not allowed to do.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of a what you might call a gray area. I think it varies person to person, mm-hmm. life chart to life chart.
Okay.
I don't think that they're permitted to take all of our problems away. You know, I really like the term spirit guide, because as the job title implies, they guide us through life. Mm-hmm. They don't fix our problems. They don't.
They're not spirit doers. They're
right. They're not
spirit taker overs.
Spirit taker overs. Yeah. Sometimes I wish they were, but
no.
You know, and kind of like one analogy that I use in my book, again referencing my daughter. Just like any good parent, I guess I'll use any excuse to talk about her. You just love them so much.
Yeah.
But you know, when she was learning how to walk, you know, right around 1 year old, It was a kind of a delicate balancing act, you know, because on the one hand, I wanted to follow and hover over her because I didn't want her to fall and get hurt. But at the same time, if I carried her around all the time, she would never learn how to do it herself. So it's this, you know, it's this finding a happy medium of giving a person enough space to fall down and get up and learn it themselves. And in a much larger scaled up way, I think that's kind of how our guardian angels view our lives too. You know, they may not prevent you from marrying the wrong person, even though they might see ahead and know that you're going to get your heart broken. If they took away all of our problems and gave us all the answers ahead of time, they would deprive us of the privilege of experiencing. And good things and bad things in life, it's still experience, and that translates to wisdom. So they give us just enough space to let us live our lives and learn our lessons, and but they stay close enough to prevent us from getting seriously hurt. You know, like if my daughter was going near a staircase, that's when I'd intervene, because I don't want her to fall down the steps. Likewise, you know, if we were going to do something so horrendous with our life that we would derail, then a guardian angel or a winged angel might intervene to keep us on track. So, yeah, what they can, what they can't do, I think it's really individualized. But I think they often do find that balance of knowing when to help and when to leave us be.
You know, and I like how you keep making the analogy, you know, the parent analogy, because that's perfect, you know, as far as, because as parents, we know how we were. I mean, some of us are the helicopter parents, but, you know, but for the most part, you realize very quickly, you know, they're not going to grow. They're not going to learn if you don't allow them to fall down sometimes. And And I finally had to, I had to learn with my daughter. She was one of these little drama queens. And so it's like, you know, any, like, she might have gotten cut pretty bad or something, but I had to really play it down, because, I mean, every little thing she was, you know, very dramatic about. So I had to learn how to do that differently, you know, and just play it all low-key. Sure.
Well, and it's really smart of you to do that, actually, you know, because children, I think fear is often learned. So if we overreact, it scares them. And so I think you hit the nail on the head with that one.
I hadn't thought of it from the fear angle, but yeah, that's right. I was just like, I just got to keep her. I just know what she does.
I think, you know, three things, you know, fear of heights, fear of snakes, fear of spiders. Those things are pretty much ingrained into our DNA. But I think a lot of the other things that people fear, it's a learned behavior. And I think, you know, you, not to get too philosophical, but you know, you think to some of the major world's problems, sexism or the fear-based, you know, issues, and they're taught from one generation to the next. So, I think it's really important to teach our youth how to not be afraid of things that are different or new, you know, because different doesn't always have to mean it's scary. It just means it's different, you know?
It's just different, exactly. Yeah. And the sooner we... That's such a huge, huge statement right there, because that's how I feel. The sooner we can learn that as a humanity, oh my gosh, the huge, giant leap we will take in our growth.
I agree. And can I ask you a question, Julia?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, everyone keeps talking about, and you know, in the metaphysical and spiritual realms, for as long as I can remember, people have been talking about there's a shift, there's a change, there's a... Something's a bubble in, you know, and I felt it more so than ever just, you know, here in the last couple of years, not to be too dramatic, you know, like your daughter. It almost seems like the nice people are getting nicer than ever before and more spiritual. And, you know, the quote unquote mean people are becoming drastically more so. And so not to make it out to be like a Star Wars good versus evil kind of thing, but. To a certain extent, I think that, you know, a lot of the light workers, if you will, a lot of the spiritual based people around the world, they have their work cut out for them now. And so it's kind of, you know, refreshing that, you know, Ozark Mountain and different agencies like this are kind of promoting the work of, you know, spiritually based people to counteract some of the negativity that's out there.
Absolutely. Because, that's it has to be early on. When we were first getting, you know, mom was first getting her messages about the shift and everything. And I was talking to someone, and we were actually doing a radio show, and I'll just get visuals sometimes. And it's like, okay, they're trying to show me, and I have to interpret it, you know, whatever it is. And
yeah,
they were showing me like this is, and I think it's where we are now or what's going on, but cause this is when it was first happening. It was, you know, it's like, we'll say we have two mountains or two, whatever, and they're right close together, but then they're starting to do this. And there was like this big, chasm in the down. It's like, as we continue to grow, see, it gets bigger, they get farther apart. Yeah. And that's how I interpret it. It's like, so as it continues, you're going to see the ones, both sides are going to keep growing. And, but they also, the same thing is they get further apart. So it's a matter of if you want to make that your focus or not, the other, you know, what the other one's doing. And see, and that's really the shift. It's just the two are pulling apart.
Sure.
And that's as, good. And what they also told me was, it was in 2011, and everybody still is like, well, when it's good, they were figuring it was going to happen in 2012, and everybody's okay, waiting for this big thing. Well, in 2011, I got this message so loud and clear, and I said, it's already done. See, it was like, you know, what's the big hoo-ha? You've already done it. Now it's, you'll see it when you believe it.
Right.
And so that's way it's been. And it's little by little, as people start believing it, then they're seeing that, oh yeah, hey, things are different, things are, you know, I am seeing it. But you've got to take your focus off of what the media wants you to focus on, or everybody else wants you to focus on. That's the distraction, you know. Just, yeah, you got to know it's done, and right, it's up to you now.
Yeah. I agree. You know, a lot of people are talking about December 21st 2012, mm-hmm, you know, the end of the world Mayan prophecy stuff,
right.
And I kind of, mm-hmm, was more along the lines of it's a shift, but it's a slow, yeah, progression. It's not one day.
Yeah.
It's a period in history that represents a shift in consciousness. And so, of course, we woke up on December 22nd and the sun still came up. And so, yeah, mm-hmm, I agree. It's kind of like, wake up, people. It's already happened. You just have to choose to recognize it. And,
exactly.
Our species is slow learners, you know, compared to maybe some of the more advanced civilizations somewhere in the universe. But we'll get there eventually. You know, we're just baby steps.
We will. Faith in us. what are some of your? I know you've got tons of stories and everything. So what are some of your favorite ones?
Oh boy, you know, and I was actually thinking that the stories that I included in this book were just kind of sporadic to basically illustrate the point that I was trying to make in the given chapter. Okay. And I was thinking in the future, I'm just going to have to write another book of unrelated random angel stories, because I have so many. Gosh, I don't even know where to start. Well, one of my more favorite ones was took place in Des Moines, Iowa, of all places. I was there doing a event, and I was at a, you know, a nice little, it was actually quite a fancy hotel. It was a nice little place. And so after everybody had left, I was packing up all my books and business cards and, you know, getting my table all cleared off, and I'm the only one in the room. And so I remember looking at the table. It was just a 6-foot black table and there was nothing on it. And I thought to myself, okay, I've got everything. So I bend down and I pick up my box of belongings. And as I look back to the table 2 seconds later, there was an item there that wasn't there just a moment earlier. It was a crisp $100 bill. And, you know, of course, I have goosebumps. And I'm looking around the room wondering where this thing came from.
Right.
And, you know, and naturally, my logical side is thinking, oh, man, somebody must have left this here.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
they dropped
one of the
it.
members. And then I thought, can't be. That's ridiculous. It wasn't there 2 seconds earlier. Earlier, it just appeared out of there. Me being the peeps that I am, I wasn't staying at the fancy hotel that I conducted my show at. I was actually staying at a kind of dicey motel across town, to save a few bucks. And so that night, as I'm laying in my questionable hotel room and I'm listening to gunshots and sirens, quite literally, I started to do the math, and I was thinking, why $100? You know, why not $20? Why not a quarter? Yeah. And then it finally dawned on me the price difference between the hotel room at the facility that I did my event and the price of the current place that I was at that night was exactly $100. So I took it as a sign from, I took it as my angel money. It was $100 from the universe to say, next time I go there, stay for my own money. So next time, the next year when I went back to Des Moines to do my show, I actually used that $100 bill and I paid the difference and I stayed there and I was safe. And so, you know, as they say, as they told me back when I was a social worker, you can't help others if you're not helping yourself. So I think it was just an angel's way of saying, stay safe, take care of yourself. You can't give readings with a bullet in you, you know? So I was like,
well, okay. Exactly. Well, it's also probably showing you that we will take care of you. You will have whatever you need when you need it, you know, just go ahead and do, you know, it's like, don't think that that's all you're worth. You're worth this. So we will support this.
That's me trying to save a couple bucks. I don't really have a extravagant taste. So, you know, there's a clean bed and a safe spot, but anyway, yeah, that's, I think, was the message that day. And I think it was one of the more memorable angel moments for me, because usually angel stories don't involve physical evidence. And that was a real dollar bill. I touched it with my hand, a $100 bill. It was real. I touched it with my hand. And I almost didn't want to spend it. I wanted to frame it, you know, but I thought I would defeat the whole purpose of why they gave it to me. So I used it, you know.
Yeah. But you took a picture of it.
Yeah, we did. I have a picture of it too.
Yeah, that way you can.
And furthermore, you know, just to cover all my bases, I actually contacted everybody who attended my show. I sent out a mass email to everybody and I said, hey, did anyone lose a $100 bill? Nobody claimed it, and I knew they wouldn't, because I knew that it just conjured out of thin air. So yeah, it was pretty neat. And that's
That shows the standard of your clients too, that they didn't, because some could say, that was mine.
Somebody could do that. I figured they were an honest bunch and they probably wouldn't claim it unless it was genuinely theirs.
Yeah. Well, and I know you talk about animals too.
Yeah.
And nature and as animal guides and because I know we have that in our, like, Indian history, they'll have a lot of that and everything. Right. So give a little bit on that, because a lot of people wonder if their animals could be their guides or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's a fitting chapter. I just kind of squeezed it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, you could probably write a whole, there has been books written on animal spirit guides and totems. In my angel book, I just mention it in a chapter. It kind of makes sense, though. It's fitting, because I found that a lot of spiritually based people are also animal lovers. So, you know, a lot of people are wondering, does my dog see angels? Can my cat see ghosts? As an animal. So I thought it was fitting to put a section in there on animal spirit guides. And, you know, a lot of people ask me throughout the years, you know, they'll see a cardinal in their tree, or they'll see a blue jay land on their porch. And many people take this as signs and messages from either from their guardian angels or from their deceased relatives or both.
Right.
And so simply put, I do think that guardian angels can use items and objects and animals and nature to deliver a message to us. And so now it's kind of individualized, though. You know, somewhere along the lines, cardinal somehow became the universal mascot as a message from heaven. And not every cardinal you see is a sign from a loved one. Sometimes a cardinal is just a cardinal. Now, if hypothetically, let's say your mom passes away and her favorite bird was a cardinal, and on the anniversary of her death, a cardinal comes and lands on your deck, absolutely, it could be a sign from your mom. You know, no problem. But that's why I say it's individual.
Actually, that is the case in my case.
Oh, the cardinal?
The cardinal is mom's sign.
There you go. So Dolores, she's here with us somewhere.
But always.
Always. So that's, you know, in animal spirit guides, kind of what I map out in my book, to really dumb it down to the essential nuts and bolts, I believe that animal spirit guides are, they're animals that we were connected with or have a bond with in a past lifetime. So you, since we've had multiple past lifetimes, I believe, you can actually have multiple animal spirit guides. And really it's just a symbolic connection between this lifetime and the past. And that's another thing. I mean, here I am, I keep mentioning past lifetimes, and I even say at the very beginning of my angels book that it's impossible to talk about the phenomenon of angels without also discussing past lives and reincarnation, because the two subjects are intertwined in such a way. So at any rate, yeah, animals, it's you know, it's a noteworthy subject, and I hope people enjoy that part of it as well. So, because I picture a lot of people actually reading that book curled up with their cat or with their dog on their lap, you know, so it's kind of fitting to squeeze that in there.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was reading it, I was, you know, I start looking at my different, you know, my pets and everything. It's like, okay, you might be, I'm not sure about you, but it's like, you know, and I know I've had people call me lots of times and they're so attached to this one pet and it's like, I'm so upset when it passed and everything. And I got very clearly, well, that cat was your guide. You know, it just came through so clearly. And that's why there was that attachment like that. So,
well, and, you know, I think truthfully, you know, our pets are the closest thing that we see to angels on a daily basis. You know, they may not have wings or halos, but they're loyal as all get out. They're capable of, you know, they're capable of unconditional love. So I think pets actually, hate to say it, sometimes they're actually easier to get along with than human beings. And I know a lot of pet lovers would admit that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes my cat can be a little demanding, but you know, other than that, that's cats.
Yeah, that's entitled, that's their entitled personality.
Yeah, and she's getting up there in years. I mean, I think she's 12 now, so she's like earned her right to demand whatever she wants.
Yeah, queen of the castle, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Let's see here. I had, I have here something I wanted you to talk about was how to establish communication with them. So, because that is a big part. You talk about a lot of different ways that you communicate and how they communicate. So real quickly, because we're going to run out of time, brief synopsis of how you establish communication.
Sure. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah. And so in my book, Not Your Average Angel book, I kind of just break it down by chapter. There's audio, you know, auditory communication. In other words, where your guardian angel just speaks to you through your subconscious, through your little psychic walkie-talkie, if you will. They can grab our attention through things in our physical surroundings, such as a bumper sticker, a poster, you know, something that you see in your surroundings that could answer a question or have personal meaning to you. Guardian angels can come in dreams. They can deliver animals such as cardinals and nature-based signs. So with all these modes of communication, job then becomes, your homework assignment, it becomes to talk to your guardian angels collectively. And even if you don't know their name, just say, hey, guardian angels, and let them know which of those forms of communication you prefer. Because if they're trying to send you visual signs and you're expecting them to come to you in your dreams, there's miscommunication, right? It'd be like if I was sending you an email and you kept checking your text messages, you know, we wouldn't really. And you don't have to jazz it up with any fancy language. I say talk to your guardian angels like they're your best friends, and they truly are. So just have that communication. And in terms of hearing back from them, you just have to be patient. They will speak to you if there's something they need to say.
Like, you know, what I always tell people is just, yeah, you ask and then just listen and trust what you hear. So is that pretty much it, because like so many times we don't want to believe we're actually hearing something, and like, no, that was my imagination. Whatever.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct, Julia. And you know, a lot of people struggle with that is the confidence. It's the intuition speaking to the heart and the rational brain doubting that and confusing it and wondering, yeah. Is that just my imagination? And I tell people 9 times out of 10, if you feel something as a spiritual sign from people in heaven or from your guardian angels, then it is. You know, it's all about the feeling associated with the experience. So listen to that gut instinct. And I know you probably tell people the same thing all the time.
Oh yeah, because that's the beginning. I mean, you listen to it and trust it, and then it keeps expanding as you do that. I describe it like a muscle that you're building, that you're exercising. And so you've got to start someplace. And as you keep trusting it, then it gets better and better. It keeps getting stronger. So, but yeah, okay. Before we run out of time,
sure.
I want you to tell everybody how they can reach you, how they can find you and contact you if they want to.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the opportunity. So as far as my book, you can get it on Amazon, you can get that through Oz Mountains website. But as far as getting a hold of me, the best way is just to hop on my website, which is andymyersonline.com. And you can find me there. There's links to my phone number, my social media pages. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty active on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all that good stuff. And whatever else will be out next year, I'll be on there too.
Yeah.
And so that's the best way. I stay very busy with psychic readings, doing private appointments, group sessions, large public events in various cities around the country. So yeah, but it's all on the website. So andymyersonline.com.
And I mean, we haven't officially invited you yet, but you will be invited to the Transformation Conference this year. And so hopefully, you'll be there, and that will be lots of fun to,
I can't wait.
Yeah. To see what happens. So anybody wants a reading there too, you can come.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was actually down that way, pretty close to Ozark Mountains, a home base, last fall when I heard that my book was going to get picked up and published. So it's kind of ironic that I was right there practically when I got the news of that. So yeah, I'd love to come.
Very cool.
Any conference. Oh, so that'd be fantastic. And maybe I'll get to meet you in person at that point.
Absolutely. I'm always there. So that'll be so much fun.
For having me on. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for being here. Before you go, something I like, I just feel like, I always feel like somebody, you always have a final message or something. Do you have anything that you would like to share with everyone?
That guardian angels are real. You know, they're not imaginary friends. They're not names that we're pulling out of a hat. They're not these invisible beings that we're talking about to give ourselves comfort. They're as real as you and I. And the beauty is, they don't require anything to do their job. You can believe in them or not believe in them. You can speak to them or not speak to them. They're going to continue to do their job regardless. So it's almost like a safety net underneath of our life to ensure that we'll stay safe and on track.
And that's got to give so many people a huge amount of comfort. That think they're here and have no idea why and what's going on. And, to know that you've got that safety net and you've got all this assistance.
I always say live life like it's a game that you can't possibly fail. And, our guardian angels are in the picture to ensure that that stays.
I love that. I love it. Oh, that's, there you go. That's wonderful to leave on. Okay. Well, he hasn't given us a time sign, but I think we're pretty close. So, I thank you so much for being on tonight, and I'll show the book again for everyone. It's Not Your Average Angel Book by Andy Myers, and it's available here at Ozark Mountain Publishing.
Thank
That's Ozark
What's
MT.
The back look like? I literally have the back.
The back?
Yeah. Oh, hey, look at
I don't
that.
I don't know if it's got a, it's got your picture on it too.
Well, thanks for showing it to me. It's always the most, really enjoyable part about the publishing is when you get to see your book cover for the first time.
So. Yeah, it's your It comes to life. I know. It was so exciting when mine came out. I was like, oh my gosh, it's real. It's real now. Yeah. Because but until then, it's an abstract thing, and then it becomes real.
Right.
And that's so wonderful in this creation process.
Yeah. That's right.
So, okay. Well, again, thank you so much for being on, and I want to thank everyone for being on with us. They'll be here. We're here in spirit today. They'll be here physically with us tomorrow. So when we air the show, I love you all and love you. And well, thank you all for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks again.
Okay. Anyway, good night, everyone. And we'll see you next week.